Well, we have guests in the studio, and we might have had a little snafu here. Pull that mic around that you're sitting right there. In studio right now, I have Sarah Batka and Mike Webb from Inspiration Kitchens. And you had some other folks that were going to join us, and where did they go?
Apparently, they went to your home.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Well, yeah, I don't broadcast out of my home.
It'd be so much more convenient if you could with that whole getting up in the morning process.
I would like that.
Can we get a
microphone there in the basement?
A mic aboard an FTP line, we could probably do anything we want.
Oh, boy. Or ISDN.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's do that. And, are we going to be able to track down our other guests, do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, we can get them on the phone.
Did they stop in my neighborhood? Tell you what, if they want to help pull out some of the vegetables in the community garden while they're there, because we're having a work day this afternoon, just have them stick around and we'll do something. And Mike knows all about that because you're one of the things you do at Inspiration Kitchens is take care of the garden there.
Oh, yeah. I'm the case manager / gardener. / whatever else needs to be done.
Uh-huh. And I saw your garden. I've got a picture on the website taken there in the... Well, actually, we don't have the vegetables there. I wonder if we... Did Kathleen put anything on the homepage of that? I wonder.
Well, Kathleen might be at home making coffee for people right now, so
that's
she
right.
might be a little busy.
In the studio, we have Mike Webb and Sarah Batka, who... And you guys understand something about... what Jan Schakowsky was talking, just to get up close to that mic there. And it's part of what you're doing. You're trying to operate a restaurant that's sustainable and bring good local food to the city of Chicago that would be the West Side. It's not even near West Side. That's the West Side in Garfield Park. And at the same time, well, tell me about, Mike, how you train people there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait, I better turn on your mic. That would help.
We have a 13-week culinary arts training. It's and we're working with a population that covers the whole spectrum. I mean, we're working with reentry population, with domestic violence, homeless populations. So they're very difficult populations in terms of the obstacles that they face. But for 13 weeks, we're providing them the skills necessary to be able to get a job in the back of the house of a restaurant.
All right. Let me ask a tough question. And I guess Margaret's here. I guess she came from my house all the way down here. That's good because I'm not broadcasting at my house. That's just too funny, you know. But the question I would ask her and I can ask you is, the mission here is how do you integrate local sustainable food with helping these populations? I mean, you have the dual missions, don't you, Sarah?
We do. We've got a lot going on as far as incorporating local sustainable practices. We do have a kitchen potager garden on site that we grow vegetables and herbs to use in our dishes.
And I know that it's tough because Uncommon Ground has their organic farm on mm-hmm. the rooftop up on Devon in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you talk to them and you say, wow, how much of this can you actually – I mean, they use it, but it doesn't necessarily comprise the bulk of what they do in the kitchen because you can't grow that much on mm-hmm. site, but you can use some of it.
Correct.
Right, right. And then we also have partnerships with organizations such as Growing Home, Patchwork Farms that we get a lot of our produce from.
And so that's the sustainable part of this as mm-hmm. As well as the and look who just walked into the studio. It's Margaret Haywood. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How's my home?
Everything looked good, although I'm a little concerned about some of the trim on the roof. But
I thought you was going to say, I'm concerned that you haven't weeded in a long time in the front. But That's a possibility. I'm sorry for the confusion, but I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
And your role with the Inspiration Kitchens is?
I'm the director of training and social enterprise for the Inspiration Corporation. So I'm in charge of our two social enterprise restaurants, which act as training centers for people who are homeless, who are trying to get back in the workforce.
And I'm glad you mentioned that there are two restaurants. There's the one in Uptown, which used to be called
Cafe 2.
Cafe 2. And I was there several years ago. I talked to somebody from Inspiration Kitchens back when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial. And I don't even remember who it was. It was that long ago. But now you've branched out to Garfield Park. And it's not a LEED certified building, but it is you've put a lot of work into the building to make it green, right? Because tell me about some of the aspects of the building.
Well, we have applied for LEED certification. We're still in the process right now.
Oh, okay.
We think we're going to get LEED gold.
Oh, that would be excellent.
It would be excellent. So some of the things are solar tubes on the roof that will produce our hot water. Unfortunately, our solar tubes were damaged at the same time the Garfield Park Conservatory's greenhouses were damaged.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not completely up to par. One of the things we got a grant from the Illinois Clean Energy Fund was for a variable speed hood in the kitchen. You have to have a hood over all the elements that create heat in a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Ours knows whether to turn itself up or down depending on how much heat is coming off those elements. Usually in a restaurant, the hood is just on and it's sucking all the air that you're paying to air condition right back outside.
My goodness.
And so this adjusts itself, saves a lot of money. There was a lot of recycling in the process of the demolition and rebuilding. We have furniture that's made from reclaimed barn wood. There's a lot of elements that we used. Tried to use adaptive reuse as much as possible.
So there are people that help deserving citizens and people who've caught bad breaks in life, and then there are institutions that do green work. You've combined it all, and that's what's it. Where do you get the folks who you train there? And when you're done, Margaret, I'd like Mike to talk a little bit about working with some of those people. How do they find out about this generally?
Well, we're connected to a pretty large number of nonprofit organizations, shelters, and things like that around the city, mm-hmm, of Chicago. So people are referred to us by those sorts of places. And people like Michael and the other case managers go out and spend a lot of time letting people know about the program and what's required of people who want to get our training.
And what kinds of, Mike, tell me a little bit about working with those folks in there. It's not a piece of cake for them to graduate, is it?
No, it's not without challenges. We're working with a population that, on the one hand, again, has so many barriers to finding employment that we just have to initially, during assessments, figure out what those are and sometimes set some goals to help them accomplish those so that they can just simply start the training. One of the primary ones is daycare. And how do we help, especially like we've been working more closely with TANF, which is, of course, the SNAP benefits, especially the population of mothers and some fathers who are in situations where at the current moment they're just not really ready to go to work. Mm-hmm. So, again, there's a lot of work in the beginning and through that 13 weeks to assist them.
We're talking, by the way, to Mike Webb, Margaret Haywood, and Sarah Batka from Inspiration Kitchens. You can go to www.inspirationkitchens.org or go to my website, mikenovak.net. I've got the links on this week's show. What kind of stuff do they learn in there, Mike?
Oh, everything. They start out initially just learning knife skills. So how to hold a knife and use one without cutting off, limbs, which is a good thing because we couldn't afford it if they were.
Well, that's got to be tricky in itself. I mean, I don't like sharp knives. They're
right.
Scary.
No, they are. They really are. But no, after a couple of days, they start getting their bearings and then they move on to prep kinds of activities. So in our restaurant, the students are actually doing the work that a paid employee would be doing in a restaurant that's open to the public. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of prepping that has to take place. They need to get the feel of the restaurant, the cooler, what's in there, the location of things, how to use the various equipment that's in that restaurant. So there's that first couple of weeks is, there's a curve that they have to get up to real quick.
Mm-hmm. But you've had a pretty good success rate, haven't you?
Yeah, actually we have. Yeah, we've got Margaret, about a 60% now?
graduation?
60% graduation rate.
60% graduation rate with about a 75-76% employment rate for those who graduate. You know.
Didn't know there were that many jobs out there.
Oh,
I didn't
yeah.
know. It seems like, but mm-hmm. in the food industry, mm-hmm. there's a lot of lower paying jobs. I would assume. I mean, this is a case where, I guess we're proving here that there are people who want to work and will take a job, mm-hmm. and we're willing to train to take even a food industry job, knowing that it doesn't pay well because they want a job.
Exactly. You know, but actually, we do have students who are actually able to get into some of the more higher-paying brackets. Obviously, you know, if you have a background that will allow you to get into places like schools, especially hospitals, those are areas where they are actually making more money than obviously someone coming with a criminal background who might have to start at $8.25 an hour and work their way up.
Margaret, let's talk a little bit about the business aspect. Either one. Yeah, there we go. I'm glad. We don't have enough mics in here. We'll just swap them out. The business aspect of this, how does the restaurant sustain itself through sales, or do you need to augment that?
We do need to augment it. Our restaurant on the west side that you visited is still very new, so we're still ramping up there. But we've been running the one on the north side for 6 years now, and it brings in about $200,000 a year in income. So it covers the basic restaurant costs, but mm-hmm. we have so many costs associated with training people that a normal restaurant wouldn't, like paying for this case manager, for example, here. we spend a lot of money every year just on getting bus passes for people to get to class, buying them new shoes that are non-skid for being in a kitchen, replacing IDs that people have lost. That's something like $70,000 a year
that's something I wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
You know, other people go to school. They got shoes. They know how to get on mass transportation. I bet you're teaching some of these people how to transfer on a bus.
You know, we do have folks who are, some Chicagoans are very provincial and don't get out of their neighborhood. And when we start sending them around on job interviews, well, you got to go to the Loop or you got to go out to O'Hare. That may not be something they're comfortable with originally. So we have a lot of costs that a normal restaurant doesn't have, obviously, because we're providing support services, we're providing instruction. So the restaurants have to cover their own, the basic cost of running a restaurant, but then there's a lot of additional services that are not covered.
One of the things you should know is the food is fabulous. At least, you know, when I went to the Garfield Park restaurant. And again, I'm just going to keep hammering this so people understand. When you go to Garfield Park Conservatory, you just walk down the block along the L. You just go a little bit east, and there's the restaurant. And it's a little hard to see because it's next to the train tracks, you know. So the L sort of hides it a little bit. But there's a parking lot there, and you'll see the garden. And there is a sign, and you can see the sign on my website because I have a photo of me and Sarah there. Stop in. I mean, and I said this earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. I've said for years that what Garfield Park really needed at that place right there was a restaurant. So for the folks going to the conservatory, can walk over. Now you can walk about a half a block and just get fabulous food. Talk to me about your chef.
Well, our chef is fantastic, and I can say that our food is good with no ego involved, because I have nothing to do with the menu or the recipes. That's all David in Garfield Park and Sean in Uptown. But we're trying to, with the menu, create a slightly healthier option for the neighborhood. Garfield Park is in an area where most of the restaurants are fast food, they're takeout, everything's run through the deep fryer, including the coffee. And we're trying to provide people with some alternatives. Healthier preparations, like brining food instead of using a lot of sauce to give it flavor, a lot of vegetables from our garden and other people practicing urban agriculture, like growing home and growing power.
Mm-hmm.
So the chef is really trying to use some things that people in the neighborhood may not be that familiar with, but when they try it, they like it, like our quinoa burger, for example. Vegetarian, a lot of people don't even know how to pronounce it, but they try it and they like it.
I like quinoa. We use it at home now, and for a lot of things, and it's great stuff. I tell you something that I had for the first time several weeks ago was spaghetti squash. Have you ever had spaghetti squash?
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's what people, and we used it instead of pasta, and it was excellent. I had no idea it was that good and that it was that easy to fix, and it's better for you than pasta, really. We have another guest. The people just keep coming into the studio. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You guys use that mic. That must be Anna Marie.
Anna Maria.
Anna Maria. Sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm going to have to. I think I got it wrong on the website. I'll fix it. Anna Maria. Leon, is that it?
Leon, yes.
Leon. Okay. All right. It's okay. You know, sometimes you just read it and you don't know how to pronounce it. And you're a master gardener.
I'm a master gardener in training.
In training.
Yes. And okay. I am a master composter. Through the University of Illinois Chicago Extension Program.
Awesome. Maybe we should take questions on composting here. But you're a master gardener training, and you're going to be helping with the garden next year?
Yes.
And I assume, Sarah, that you're going to be part of that as well. You're a master gardener, right?
I am.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Sarah is involved not only with Inspiration Kitchens, but what's the name of your...
The community garden?
The Ellisview.
Ellisview and
Woodlawn. Yeah, Ellisview Cooperative Garden. And so she's involved in community gardening. And how is it you got found Inspiration Kitchens, Sarah?
I found Inspiration Kitchens on Craigslist, actually.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for an internship in social media and marketing.
And that's the reason we're here today, is because Sarah contacted me. Now, I knew Sarah through Master Gardeners and through other things, and she, I assume, you listen to the show occasionally as well.
Every Sunday.
Yay!
Ooh, I got the bell.
You got the bell.
I liked you on Facebook on my way over here, by the way.
You're one of the people. Heather was
400?
Pointing out. Where are we at right now?
We're well over 400.
We are at 408. Let's update. 409. She's real fine, my 409. Everything's a song cue, you know. We're up to 409. All right, the bell again. So Sarah got involved, and did you work in the garden this year?
No, I came on right after Labor Day.
Ah, okay. So what's going to happen? I assume you're going to do that next year, and Mike, of course, is out there putting up the scarecrows and doing everything and dealing with squirrels. When I went and visited you, the squirrels had done in some of your cabbage, which they did in my community garden as well. Mm-hmm. We got to put fences around those next year.
I'm exercising a lot of restraint right now.
Well, it's illegal to do some of the things you're thinking of there. So what plans do you have for the garden? You've got Anna Maria and Sarah, and how are you going to change things for next year?
Oh, wow. Let's see.
You even had corn. You had corn out there?
So yeah, right. We've got corn. We harvested it. We've let it
pull that just a little closer.
It's drying out right now, so we've got seed stock for next year. Uh-huh. But what we're really trying to do is, because we know we're in a food desert, and we're really trying to create a system where we can show people that whatever space you have available, you can grow food. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I'm collecting... we're collecting little small containers that, you know, half and half comes in, to large drums where we have 5 gallons of oil. To the big project is going to be like a Lesotho-style keyhole that we're working on. And Anna's really the spearhead behind that project.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, Anna.
Well, I think that one of our focuses is going to be having the Inspiration Kitchens become a teaching garden, really, for you can show all kinds of ways to, like what Michael was saying, doesn't matter how much space you have. So one of the things that we've been introducing into the garden is permaculture design. And are you familiar with permaculture?
Yes, I am, but why don't you explain it, because some of my listeners might not be familiar with permaculture.
Permaculture is actually an acronym or it's an aggregate of two words. It's permanent agriculture, and it was coined in 1978 by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren. They're out of Australia. But what it really is that they've taken the best out of the old traditional cultures on their agricultural techniques and taken the best out of it so that you can apply it to whatever region you are, and it goes hand-in-hand with sustainable agriculture. So what Michael was talking about was having a keyhole garden. And what it is like it's a round garden bed, raised sometimes, and you have like a 2-foot path that goes in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. They put in a compost basket in the middle of the bed, and then around it they have like compost layering. So you start out with your browns and your greens, and you keep building it up to about 2 feet high. In Lesotho, they build it up to 4 feet high because their ground is just so compacted and with no nutrients. And you can grow a lot of food in this little space.
I'm not quite understanding the compost. You put compost in the bed, or the compost is the bed?
Both. So you have a basket in the middle, and you actually take your food scraps and you put
throw
it in
that
the middle,
in there.
But you're actually building the raised bed with sheet mulch. Or you could also use just regular soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then when as you compost in the center, that gets added to the...
When you water the keyhole, you actually water through the center so that the nutrients flow out into the bed.
Oh, I like that. It's like a compost tea.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it, except the compost tea is made from the compost pile right there. Instead of you moving it, you just leave the pile in place and let the water drain out and the nutrients go into... And the biology, of course, too, because, as we all know, it's the biology, stupid. Mm-hmm. Compost is biology.
Yes.
And there are nutrients in gentle levels as opposed to the synthetic fertilizers, but chiefly what you're getting when you do a compost pile is that biology, which makes the soil so healthy.
Exactly. And that's my focus, is I really want to tap into the micronutrients that we want to incorporate into the soil so that the plants can absorb that. So in the restaurant, whenever we're using anything coming out of the garden, we want it to simply look good, but also be healthy for you.
Well, I've got to move along here. I want you guys to stick around, if you can, to the end of the show. I'm going to chat with you afterward. But, Margaret, I want to ask you before I let you go here about, you talked about the restaurant being in a food desert. Are the locals coming, or is it a destination, or both? How is that turning out?
Well, it's really turning out to be both. We're getting people who know our organization and are coming over from other places. They've eaten at our other restaurants before. But we're also working very hard to try to get people from the community in. Last Saturday, we had a group of, I think, 50 women who were from a church. It was the women's group from a church in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited about that. We'd like to do more with, in addition to the location.
It wasn't the Red Hat ladies, was it?
No. The Red Hat ladies have been there as well.
They have been?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. In short, ladies love our restaurant.
Listen, anybody would love your restaurant. The food is excellent, and it's pretty affordable.
Yeah, we're trying to keep
that's,
it that
that's,
way.
You have to. If you're going to succeed in that neighborhood and if you want the locals to come, you've got to keep it affordable. And you're succeeding so far.
Yeah, so far so good.
Well, listen, thank you all, Margaret Haywood and Sarah Batka, Michael Webb, Anna Maria Leon. I finally got it right. Yeah, about the fourth time I say it, it happens. But thank you, first of all, for the work you're doing at this. I'm sorry. Did you end up at my house, too?
Yes.
So
it's
Anna,
a beautiful house, by the way.
If you guys should have stayed. I could have had you working in the garden, the community garden today, because we're doing end of season. Yes, Heather?
I've never been to your house.
That's true. You haven't been to my house, have you? Nobody goes to my house. Nobody.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Let's get Kim Marson on the phone. Hang out, you guys, and I want to chat afterward. But again, please go to this restaurant. Go to Inspiration Kitchens. Go to www.inspirationkitchens.org. Go have a meal. I saw you guys were on Check Please. Is that right?
Yeah, our uptown location is on Check
One.
Place.
Yeah. Cafe 2.
A year and a half ago, yep.
Yeah. Because when I was eating there, I was thinking, wow, I got to do that for this. Mm-hmm. I need the people at Check Please to invite me to be on their program. Heather gives that a thumbs up here, so that's good. And if you go to the Garfield Park Conservatory, even if you don't, stop by Inspiration Kitchens, Garfield Park, and you're really, really going to like the food. You're going to like the atmosphere. You're going to like the food. You're going to like everything about it. And if you come during the growing season, go out and weed. Come in, help these people out. Go out. Mike will show you what to do.
Right.
He's good at that. All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate having you down here. And we got a tweet from Kathleen. Said, saw the Inspiration Kitchen people in front of our house. Given the demographic, car and neighborhood, I figured drugs or real estate. She chose the latter. So she thought people were shopping for our home. She couldn't figure it out. So that's pretty funny. I'm so sorry you went to our house before you came into the studio. That's the way these things go. Thanks so much, everybody. Heather's sitting on the floor. We've run out of chairs. We say, till next week, go green.
Or go home.